CBSI in the World, I'm John Batterson with Elbridge Colby. His new book is The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. The PLA, theoretically, the supposition, has invaded Taiwan and taken control of Taiwan. The coalition has not yet dislodged or recaptured or driven back the invasion force. In other words, the denial defense has failed. There follows a limited war. What is to be done? Bridge, what is horizontal escalation? What is vertical escalation?
Horizontal escalation is basically the idea that instead of contesting the kind of the direct battle that you're thinking about, so think Taiwan here or an earlier era, think of, say, Korea in 1950, instead you attack your enemy in some other geographic location or some other area that's not, you know, militarily connected to the direct theater. So, you know, if we, in the case of Taiwan, if we, let's say, attack the Chinese in Xinjiang or we attack their base in Djibouti, vertical escalation is basically increasing the intensity of the conflict. So at the highest end, it's the use of nuclear weapons at scale, but it could be, you know, terror bombing or large-scale conventional bombing or attacks designed to impose more costs and increase the intensity of the conflict.
The China horizontal escalation choices, from your list, they don't look attractive to me. Market gains? Yeah, we got them right now. We got failures out of China, routine. And people advising don't invest there. So set that aside. China can push past the first island chain. Taiwan's in the first island chain. But again, you're talking about over bodies of water. And you're talking about the Philippines or into the South Pacific. That is not easy for China to do. So would vertical escalation be more agreeable to China?
So, well, it depends on where. So I think let's break it down a little bit. So, you know, the ideal for us is if the denial defense succeeds. So let's posit that the denial defense defeats the invasion. We sink enough ships, shoot down enough aircraft, whatever soldiers land on Taiwan at a retreat or captured or, you know, put into some kind of irrelevant situation. That's great. In this context, the way I think about it is the burden of escalation is now on China's shoulders. China has to say, okay, we've lost the local battle that's now taken on an outsized significance because it's become a test of the two sides, the two superpowers in particular. China now can say, well, I can try again, but, you know, by definition, we the Americans and others are now in a better position to deny that, and we'll be watching them. And it's probably going to take them some time to rebuild a fleet and an air armada. Or they can try to horizontally escalate. Let's say they try to do something to us, like they, you know, attack our soldiers in the Middle East or shoot down a plane or something in a totally unrelated area. But I don't think that's going to work for them because why would we give up under those circumstances? This Taiwan issue is now taken on an outsized significance. So they're going to be going after symbolic pinpricks around the horizon or the horizontal area that aren't going to make a difference. If they are nasty enough, for instance, if they go more in the vertical direction and they say, well, if you don't get off Taiwan, you know, we're going to nuke you. Well, that's the kind of context in which that burden of escalation is going to lie very heavily on their shoulders. Because if they, let's say, drop a nuclear bomb in the middle of the ocean to make a point, we're going to say, well, okay, but that's not going to change our view. And if they actually go through and say drop an atomic weapon on an American city, then they're going to catalyze what FDR called, you know, American people's righteous might, you know, our righteous anger, or what Clausewitz called the flashing sword of vengeance. Right. Then it really is going to be, it's no longer going to be about Taiwan. It's going to be about the fact that they attacked America itself with a nuclear weapon. So that's actually not a good outcome for China. So I could see them using a nuclear weapon in like a limited kind of demonstrative way to try to get us to back down. But in fact, their best decision is actually probably to lick their wounds, not admit defeat, you know, in the way, say, North Korea has looked at it over the last 70 years, and try to look for another opportunity. And then we would have to focus on that. And actually, in that context, our incentive would not be to push them too far or too hard. We would want them to have a sufficiently graceful exit where they would decide that not escalating is the better course of action. Okay, that's what we would prefer. What happens if the denial defense fails? That's, I think, what you're asking, right? In that context, we need to figure out how do we catalyze the degree of resolve on the part of the American people, the Japanese people, the Australian people, to go in and launch that larger military effort that's required to defend Taiwan or even recapture Taiwan. And that's where I sort of developed the idea of the binding strategy. But that's a really hard problem for us.
Yes, a very hard problem. And I want to come to it next, but I want to review what we've just learned. The denial defense, if successful, obliges China to escalate or not.
Right.
The denial defense in failure questions whether the coalition is going to escalate or not. So the denial defense is the pivot point. Do I read you correctly, Bridge? The first thing that's going to happen is that the people of Taiwan need to dig in and resist the invasion force, if that's what China uses. And the first thing for the coalition to do is to reinforce the digging in. That contest would last a number of days, and there would be emergency meetings at the United Nations Security Council. There would be dire headlines around the world. All allies would be fully armed, mobilization. I mean, it's an end of the world scenario, but we can survive this because the choices have to be made by China and by the coalition. Now, is this the time to talk about costs in that anxiety? Because markets are not opening. People are losing money. There's disrupt. We see what the supply chain looks like in a pandemic. Wouldn't the supply chain just break at that moment?
Well, I think you're absolutely right to point to cost, and it's very real, and it's something that's woven through the entire book and my thinking. But I'll say this: first of all, I think the pandemic shows actually that societies are more resilient than people often appreciate.
Okay.
This is one of the big findings of the famous strategic bombing survey, which was conducted after World War II by the United States, of the German and Japanese bombing campaigns and their efficacy. And one of the things they really found was that actually both economies were much more resilient. Now, that was 75 years ago, but, some of those people are still alive. I mean, there's our grandparents and great-grandparents and parents and so forth. And actually, German economic production was higher, I think, in 1944, 45 than it had been earlier in the war. So countries can do a lot even under stress. And I think the point that I would make, the more fundamental point,
we have 30 seconds here. Go ahead, Bridge.
The fundamental point is, if we get to that point and we back down, it will not be the end. And I think everybody will appreciate that. If we shut down and fold our cards when it's become a test between the United States and China, that will have catastrophic impact throughout the international system. America will continue as a country, but it will not be recognizable over time because of the implications for our freedom and prosperity.
The book is The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. Elbridge Colby is the author. When we come back, The Binding Strategy. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.